There is perhaps no passage in the Old Testament that is linked more to the death of Jesus than Abraham's sacrifice of Isaac. And therefore, every Good Friday, this passage from Genesis 22 is part of the lectionary assigned for this day. Here, God commands Abraham to sacrifice his only son, Isaac. So why didn't Abraham just say no? If he had done so, he certainly would be remembered in human history as a great man because he stood up to a God who clearly asked him to do something that bordered on the psychotic. His rejection would be a triumph of humanity, human goodness over a God of unclear motives. But that's not what we find in this passage. Abraham did take his only son, Isaac, to Moriah in order to sacrifice him. How could he do that? And for that matter, how could the Son of Man say yes to his Father in heaven in order for him to be crucified? For a great many years, this aging man with a barren wife, Abraham, lived on a promise. God appeared, withdrew, appeared again, and withdrew again. But Paul proclaims in Romans 4:18, in spite of these trials, in hope, Abraham believed against hope that he should become the father of many nations. And so we have in Abraham a man who had been living with a radical trust in God for a long time. But this was Isaac. This was Isaac, his only son, he was being asked to sacrifice. Isaac is not just any son. He is the fulfillment of the promise of God to Abraham that he'd been waiting for decades. He is the sole bearer of the promise for the future. The end of Isaac will mean the end of hope, blessing, and salvation for the whole world. How could he become the father of many nations without Isaac? And yet Abraham is ready to submit to God's command even before he says it. Because this is the God in whom he's put his trust in. To have faith in God, to fear God as Abraham did, means to trust him totally and to put one's life completely in his hands, even when the fulfillment of that promise seems to have receded into impossibility. Abraham is for us the unparalleled example of steadfast trust in unimaginable circumstances. We don't know what he was thinking or what he was feeling at that moment. The text is completely silent about his emotional state. You know, we live in a time when people are particularly concerned about their thoughts and their feelings, and they don't think oftentimes about their actions. But the Bible, by contrast, is largely concerned by actions, because faith is what you do. Faith isn't just what you feel or what you think. Faith is what you actually do. In verse 8, we get perhaps the best glimpse of what's going on inside of Abraham. Isaac asks him, "Where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" To which Abraham replies, "God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." Abraham has seen the faithfulness of God in the past. Abraham had lost his wife twice, but God brought her back. He had nearly lost the promised land, but God gave it back to him. And he was now a man, many years later, demonstrated faith and faithlessness. And yet he'd grown in faith where now he trusted God even in the most excruciating circumstances. And now he says to himself, even if I kill this boy, I know God will bring him back. Even if I dismember him and his body is reduced to charred ashes, I know that God can bring him back. And he knew this because he had seen how God had taken his barren, elderly wife and had given him a son out of nothing. This is a man who didn't have the New Testament and all of its theology of resurrection. But this is a man who just trusted God. He's leaning back on the question that God asked him back in Genesis 18. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Abraham says, no, nothing is too hard for the Lord. He's given me a son, and he's promised me grandsons and great-grandsons. And even if I kill him, I know that he will bring him back. You know, faith is nothing other than trust in the power of the resurrection against every deadly circumstance. But what about the impact this would leave on Isaac? I mean, if my father took me and tied me to an altar and then took a knife and began to attempt to cut me, I would be scarred for the rest of my life. How could I ever look at my dad in the face again? I mean, I would need years of therapy to get over something like that. And would I really want to put my faith in a God that would ask such a thing? And yet we don't find in later chapters Isaac questioning this at all. Why not? Well, we need to understand that Isaac was not a small boy who was forcefully tied down by a much stronger dad. No, he is somewhere between 15 and 30 years of age. And that means Abraham is somewhere between 115 and 130 years of age. Abraham could easily have been out-wrestled or outrun by his son Isaac. Isaac could have defended himself, and he could have certainly fled, but he fully yielded himself to his father. Isaac had the kind of loving relationship with his father that trusts his dad no matter what. I mean, you can almost imagine the conversation that they had. Dad, you want to lay me down on the altar that has this wood scattered on it? You want me to die here today? Yes, son. That's what the Lord is saying. I'm your father, and I would like you to obey me. All right. I trust you, Dad. And Isaac lays himself down willingly. Abraham bound his son, Isaac, and then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Perhaps all of this was for Isaac, so that he could learn how deeply his father trusted the Lord. Isaac knew, Dad loves me. Dad cherishes me. Dad adores me. Dad would give anything to me, including his own life. But he also knows that his dad loves the Lord and trusts the Lord. Could it be that all of this was to help train Isaac in his faith? Abraham's trial is a once-for-all event that God can be trusted even in the most unimaginable darkness. God never asked this of anyone else. It's a one-time event, never to be repeated. Never, that is, until the day of the ultimate event. God seeming to be against God when God's own son cries out from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? For Isaac, a substitute was provided. Abraham saw a ram caught in the underbrush. When Jesus came to the cross to bear the sins of the world in fathomless darkness, there was no substitute for him. He himself was the Lamb. God did not withhold his son, his only son. The son became a substitute for all of us. God the Father and God the Son, together with a single will, enacted the eternal purpose of God, that the second person of the Trinity would become, once and for all, the burnt offering that would bring salvation to the whole world. Amen.